Hi, I'm Irene Yanku, and this is my podcast. I have spent my entire career in dentistry learning about new technology, techniques to better my clinical skills, and now I'm a practice owner and leader. In life, as a learner, I've noticed my truest love for learning has not been about teeth or what material is best to use for a core buildup. It's been learning about people in our dental community. The educators, scientists, clinicians, business owners, and advocates, their stories, their lives, their why, and their what's next. Getting to know them as humans, identifying how they work, what their rituals are, while highlighting them as the true trailblazers in dentistry. And that's what I do here on the show. So hold on to your suction, it's about to get slippery, here on the Tooth or Dare podcast.
I was telling people what they needed to do.
You
instead
left,
of,
you right,
yes,
you
exactly,
go,
you right, right, yeah. right. And she stopped me and she's like, I can't move at that pace. I'm going to make mistakes.
Oh.
And I mean, she said that to me and I'm like, you are so right. I can't push you because the person that's going to suffer isn't you or I, it's our patients.
Hi, I'm Irene Yanku and this is my podcast. I have spent my entire career in dentistry learning about new technology, techniques to better my clinical skills, and now I'm a practice owner and leader. In life, as a learner, I've noticed my truest love for learning has not been about teeth or what material is best to use for a core buildup. It's been learning about people in our dental community. The educators, scientists, clinicians, business owners, and advocates, their stories, their lives, their why, and their what's next. Getting to know them as humans, identifying how they work, what their rituals are, while highlighting them as the true trailblazers in dentistry. And that's what I do here on the show. So hold on to your suction, it's about to get slippery, here on the Tooth or Dare podcast.
It's official. I'm converting my existing practice organization to Color Method by Zurich. I often find myself pondering if there are methods to enhance efficiency and streamline our work process to make the daily grind a little easier. We all recognize that a thriving dental practice hinges on happy team members, pleased patients, and a well-coordinated operation. That's why Zurich Dental Products developed Color Method, the ultimate organizational solution for dental practices. I've been particularly impressed at how seamless they've designed it. Color-coded bins containing materials tailored uniquely for your practice, accompanied by color-coded trays for every procedure. It's a game changer. I'm excited to share that my practice is going to be transitioning from our existing system to Color Method very soon. What's even better is the level of involvement that you can have in this transition. Their team offers a variety of options from providing instructions for a DIY approach or handling all of the heavy lifting for you. It's completely up to you. Color Method transcends mere organization. It mitigates the time and money wasted due to inadequate tools, excessive inventory, or things that expire in a drawer. For more information on Color Method, visit colormethod.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Tooth or Dare podcast, peeps, with your peep, Irene. We're recording this episode live on the trade show floor. Where are we? We're at Chicago Midwinter, and we're recording at the Zurich booth. So welcome, Zurich, to the podcast. This is the very first episode that we've partnered on, and I'm very excited to introduce to you someone that I just met. And
hi. Hello.
And you're just meeting her for the first time. I'd like to introduce you to Kate Reinhardt, clinical and efficiency consultant at Zurich.
Yes.
A dental assistant of 17 years, newly in this role that I know nothing about. So I'm so excited. And I want to know so much about your journey from being a dental assistant to now working in a more corporate environment. And oftentimes I get asked those questions from fellow colleagues, like, how do I step out of whatever your operatory comfort zone is?
So we'll talk about that. And then I want to talk about color method. I find it to really fascinating as a dyslexic with what may be arguably also OCD. I find organization to be really interesting. So I want to learn more about that. So welcome. Hi, how are you today?
I'm amazing. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm excited to be here. Chicago, this energy is so much fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoy being here and just like revitalizing the energy for dentistry, whether it's on like a clinical side or on a on this side of the industry. So I'm just super excited to be here.
I'm as an assistant, I'm sure you've been to trade shows before, but on the other side of things, how many trade shows have you gone to in this role with Zurich?
This is my third with Zurich. Cool. I've been to Chicago Midwinter, I think 6 or 7 times though.
I think it's one of the good ones.
Much fun.
Top five, if you had to say what your top five favorite conferences are, this would be one for me. Greater New York would be one for me too, except it's during Thanksgiving for most people.
Right.
What else? What other ones do you like?
I like DS World. That one was probably my favorite down in Vegas. They just put on like an amazing show down there.
They had like Katy Perry last year. Yeah. Was that who was Katy Perry?
And yeah.
They had another comedian too. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was a cool show as well. Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
So tell me, I'm just looking at the camera. Yeah. So tell me about you. Like, tell me about where'd you, like, take me back to birth. Like, what was birth like? Can we, stepping out of the womb? Did you head first, feet first?
I was the chubby 10-pound baby really? That came out. Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of 10 kids.
Okay.
So I have 9 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
So like this industry is like all about relationship making. And I feel like I was just destined to do that because of my upbringing, like having to deal with 10 different personalities. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And, funny coincidence, I actually grew up like 1.5 miles south of Zurich.
Like, no way.
Yeah. So I have been aware of Zurich for a long time and didn't really put the connection together that the products that I was using in the dental industry were from Zurich, which is, 2-minute drive from my own
hometown. Where is that?
So we're located in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I grew up in Rockford, Minnesota. So like I said, 1.5 miles down the road. So it was kind of fun to see that. My parents caught wind of that now, and they're like, well, you can come see me every day on your lunch break. So I go and see my parents very regularly
now. That's cute.
Yeah. So my dad, if I miss a day in a week, he's like, when are you going to come see me? I haven't seen you in a long time. I'm like, Dad, hang tight. Like, I promise I'll get there.
That's nice that you have a good relationship with your parents.
Yeah, it's
and that
so
you're
awesome.
Close to them to be able to go over. Okay.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
School wise, did you were in the band? Like, what was the?
I played the flute.
I was gonna say you look like you probably played the flute or the clarinet.
No, flute. And then I upgraded to the piccolo. Like, there's nothing.
Wait, what's a piccolo?
You've never heard of a piccolo?
Is that like the wooden one?
It's a little baby flute.
Oh.
It's like
sounds
like
12. Cute.
It is, and it has a super high pitched sound. Like if you like, I think a lot of the classic music from like Bambi.
Oh.
You can hear a lot of piccolo in that one.
They would have piccolo music for Bambi.
Yeah. It's like very like intense sounding. So in some of those, in the scene where the stag is being hunted, like you can hear some piccolo.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you still play?
No, gosh, no.
No?
that died with high school, unfortunately. And then my kids, they wanted to pick up the saxophone. I'm like, we're not a saxophone family. If we're going to play anything, it's the flute. And, you know, they won that battle and they're playing, they're playing the saxophone.
How many kids do you have?
I have 3.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it
a lot
is.
Of babies.
Yep.
Not quite 9, but.
Right. No, gosh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're great.
And then, like, when did you know you wanted to be in dental? Like, what was your path to dental, high school, college?
Yeah. So high school, I had no idea. Like, I just was going through the motions and getting to graduation and then figuring it out then.
Yeah.
I did like a couple of random, exploration things. I volunteered in a NICU and I loved caring for babies, but I'm like, they're babies and no, thank you. So fragile. Just I didn't have the energy for that. And I considered going into law enforcement for a hot minute. Yeah. And my dad's like, no, you're not doing that. You're too kind. You're too sweet. You're not going to be able to like put a guy in handcuffs. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, okay, Dad, thanks for the reality check. I really appreciate it. And then I like thought about accounting and culinary school, like so wide.
That's all over the place.
I know. It's
I
so
love
crazy.
This.
And then I took a gap year and I'm like, okay, we really got to figure this out.
Yeah.
One of my good friends from high school is like my mom's a dental hygienist and they are looking, you know, just come in and see what it's like, you know, work a shadow, whatever you want to do. And from day one, I was like, yep, I got to do this. So I enrolled in dental assisting school almost right away. And you know, a year later graduated and I worked with them for about 10 years. And
you were in the same practice for 10 years. What are some things that you think helped them retain you for that long? Like employee retention these days is tough.
Yeah.
People are quitting because the vibe is off. It's just like so many different dynamics. I'm a millennial, so I feel like I stick around until like I just physically can't do it anymore. And I don't think that sorry to anyone watching this, but I feel like that's just, the way that things are now.
Right. You kind of nailed it, like culture. I was in a really supportive practice and we had some staff turnover that didn't really agree with, not necessarily agree with, but like that wasn't the culture that they were looking for. Mm. It was a very progressive office. We were always innovating. We were always, you know, what is best for our patients? And if the status quo is what's best, that's what we're going to do. And if it's not, we're not going to continue down that path. So I am a very progressive and a passionate person when it comes to dentistry. And I just want to provide as much care as I can for my patients, no matter what it is. So having that supportive culture really helped me not only grow as a dental assistant, but also within the industry. Mm-hmm. So I was in a clinical leadership role. I went into, you know, higher level management as well. And I kept coming back to clinical care. Because
what does that mean? So in a clinical leadership role, clinical management role, what did that look like?
Yeah, I went from a dental assistant to the lead dental assistant.
And how many dental assistants were in your office?
That practice, we went from two dental assistants. I think there were like nine of us when we merged practices. We were a really big practice. So I did that. And
nine assistants. So how many ops is that space?
It was 11.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of humans, a lot of bodies, a lot of rooms.
Right. Lots of management, lots of trying to figure out the logistics of that. So,
yeah.
And then I went to a clinical,
what were those responsibilities? Like, what did that kind of look like? I'm just curious how like these experiences that you've had have led you to being like the efficient person that you are today. Yeah. I feel like all of these like little pieces of, you know, being a child of nine. Yep. Like that's got to teach you some perseverance and some compromising skills and better communication skills. So it's like you are the sum of all of your experiences that have led you to where you are today. And it's people like to call it hard work. And I think it is, but there is luck and chance that's kind of built into it too.
Yeah.
So what did that mean for you as a lead assistant of managing nine different people?
Yeah. I think my favorite part about it and what I really think helped develop me into where I am now is the training. I wanted to give my clinical team members as much in resources as they could have so that they could perform their best dentistry, and doing that in, binders that showed like, this is a list of all the procedures that we do. This is a list of all the instruments that go with this procedure. So just helping them be their best dental assistant in training and education, doing like master skills tests. So I helped develop this little tiny program where to like self-elevate, you know, let's take five sets of bite wings, and each set you get checked off by a clinical lead, myself or my coworker. And then once you have mastered that, then you've mastered that skill and you're on your way to being like a master dental assistant. So we kind of developed
that. So it's like little checkpoints and stuff.
Yeah. And it was just to, you know, give them accountability and to really be mindful of, I'm not just taking a radiograph from a patient. And, you know, it's not like a selfie. You know, I'm not just going to point and click.
And hope.
You have to be intentional because this is, you know, radiation is a real thing. Yeah. And not to mention like the time that it takes to take the radiograph, and then the doctor views it and he's like, actually I need those contacts open, or you missed this tooth, you know? Yeah. So now we need to go backtrack and waste precious time. So, just kind of helping develop them as a professional was probably one of the biggest connections that I have, because I loved seeing like their eyes light up when they were making those connections and they're like, I get it. Finally, I understand what you're getting at. So it was help not only helping my patients, but helping my peers become the better self.
Did you have any trouble like providing constructive feedback? Like what? Because I feel like as a young person, relatively in business and in age, like some of the people that work for me are older than me.
Yeah.
And you know, they've been doing it a lot longer, and they've done the things a certain way forever. And now you've got this new system that's coming in, and we're changing everything.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about with color method too. Mm-hmm. How did you learn to navigate some of those tougher conversations?
Yeah. Those crucial conversations.
Any memorable ones?
Yes. There was a dental assistant, you know, we were all about efficiency, and this is probably, it was a mistake that I made, and I learned very quickly from it, is I was telling people what they needed to do.
You
instead
left,
of,
you right,
yes,
you
exactly,
go, you
right,
run,
right. Yeah. And she stopped me and she's like, I can't move at that pace. I'm going to make mistakes.
Oh.
And I mean, she said that to me and I'm like, you are so right. I can't push you, because the person that's going to suffer isn't you or I, it's our patients. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, kind of gave me a reality check where I was like, okay, let me help you identify what mistakes could be made so that we can not make them when we're being our most efficient self. So it was really just, that was probably the one that hit me the hardest, where I was like, I'm not doing this right. I'm not having these right conversations the correct way.
Yeah.
And I needed to, you know, help approach it with a solution.
I love that she said that, though, because so many people would not be so forward to say, I can't do things at your pace.
Yeah, right. Yep. And that was, it was true. And we came to we compromised and we figured out how she could be her most efficient self and still do what's best for the patients and the practice. And it ended up working out really well.
So how did you then get to Zurich? So what was that? Yeah. Uh-huh.
That pathway?
Yeah.
Sure. So funny story, about 5 years ago, I was in clinical practice and I was like, you know what? I've been wanting to get on the sales side of the industry for a long time. I'm really passionate about teaching my patients. I want to teach, you know, my peers. And I emailed, I went to their website, totally cold email. I emailed our entire leadership team and I got crickets. Like, nobody responded to me.
No.
I didn't expect a response, but you know,
well, it is what it is.
And the answer is always, the answer is always no until you ask.
Right.
Fast forward a couple of years and our HR manager, I reached out to her and I said, hey, I see that you're working at Zurich now. Do you guys have any openings?
Yeah.
And she said, we don't right now, but as soon as I do, I'll let you know. Fast forward 3 more years. And
no way. She remembered for 3 years.
Yeah. I may know her outside
of
Zurich.
So you nudged a little.
Right.
You're like, hey.
But yeah. So, but we didn't really
You bring a suction to the bar and you're just sipping on your drink with it. Like, hey.
Right, no kidding. Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Like, I'm going to bring a saliva ejector tonight.
I've used saliva ejectors at the office when I didn't have a straw.
Amazing. Yeah. I've never thought of that.
There's a video that I posted on my Instagram about it. It was kind of funny, but I needed to just try. I had no choice.
I love
it. The things you do in dire need.
Right. Yeah. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yep.
I love it.
So then, well, then what?
So Alyssa reached out to me and she's like, I'm about to post this position on LinkedIn. I want you to apply first. And I did. And like 3 weeks was all it took. We moved so fast. We did the interviews, we did the calls, we did the reference checks, like all that good stuff. And I had my final interview with our president, our director of sales, director of marketing, and then another colleague. And they're like, they offered me the job on the spot, which was fantastic.
That's
amazing. Such a great feeling. And they said, we want you to come to Oregon with us in like 7 days.
For what? Like the sales meeting?
Yeah,
or sales meeting.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. This
I need
is
a suitcase.
Really happening. Yes, exactly. Right. Like
I
said, you know what? Give me till noon tomorrow and I'll let you know. And I'm a person like the universe tells you everything.
Sure.
You know, I really rely on that. And all of these crazy signs were like lining up for me to say yes. Mm. And my husband was so supportive. He understood the role. And this is, you know, where I've wanted to be for a long time. So he said, whatever you want to do, you know, hon,
that's
go for
so cool.
it. And the crazy. So this was the deciding factor. I had bought a 3-month unlimited car wash at a car wash where I was working at the time. And it was expiring at the end of May.
No way.
And I'm like, well, now I don't have to stay in Waconia anymore.
That's
I can
so
leave.
So I can get a car wash anywhere.
I know. Exactly.
I'm going to get a car wash near Zurich.
Right. So I'm just like this is those signs from the universe that this was meant to be. I went in on a Tuesday and I like filled out all my paperwork, signed everything. And I was on an airplane to to Oregon the next day.
That's so cool. So you were just dropped right into it.
Right into it. And I loved it. Like, that's how I operate. Yeah. Just go for it. There's no reason to like wait around. Just jump right in.
You strike me as someone that is just like, let's get things done. Yeah. There's no time to waste.
No time to
waste. You were pacing back and forth here as I was setting up the podcast equipment. She's like, is she done yet?
I'm
like,
did I make
you
nervous?
I'm not even late. It's only 9:02. They wouldn't let me in here.
It was more like, how can I help her? My hands need to be busy.
I sensed that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So, oh my God, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Where do I begin? Let's talk about your role.
Yeah.
So what is a clinical and efficiency consultant? Mm-hmm. And how does one... Okay. Backtrack. LinkedIn, you said that they posted the ad on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Is that customary in the sales world that LinkedIn is the main choice of where companies post ads?
I think it is. I think between that and Indeed, they're just like the most, you know, most commonly used ones. And if you have a healthy presence on LinkedIn, you're going to find those roles anyways. So I think LinkedIn, and in my personal opinion, I use it all the time. Like networking at its finest, professional networking at its finest. Like, you can really make some big strides using LinkedIn, both personally and professionally. Yeah. So I truly feel like LinkedIn is the place to go if you are looking for this type of role. It's just targeting the right people for these types of roles. So I would say LinkedIn is definitely a good place and a common place for these types of positions to go in.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy too that you held out for so long because you wanted to work for this company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what I want. And that is,
I mean, I've never met anyone else that has done that. That it's like, you know what, I'll wait 2 more years, 3 more years, however many more years until like a role is available. Mm-hmm. And then you ended up getting in.
Yeah.
How terrible would it be if you waited so long and you didn't?
Like, but sorry, womp, womp.
Yeah. Or like, oh, we need someone with more experience or whatever that, and you know, that's, I find that really fascinating too. Do you think that, like, you're obviously a patient person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, growing up with 9 siblings, you have to learn to wait your turn for everything. But I was the middle child, and you also have to make things happen for yourself.
Yeah.
So you just have to understand, like, where are things at in your world and in your life? Where are those priorities? And just really, like, working those angles. So I am both a very patient and impatient person in the same time. It's just like, what priority do I need to, or what thing do I need to prioritize?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. And now back to the role now. Yeah. So how does one prepare to be a clinical and efficiency consultant? What does that role mean? Well, what does that job description even look like on that ad?
I mean, first and foremost, you need to be a clinical team member. Yeah. Like, you have so much real world experience being a clinical team member for this role, because you're not going to have the same outlook and the same experiences as somebody who doesn't have that clinical experience. So I have walked in these people's shoes. I have done everything that they are doing. I've started up a new practice with a doctor. I've merged practices with a doctor. I have implemented new systems, new surgical systems. Like, I've done it all. So I know what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So having that clinical experience is first and foremost what we're looking for. You need to be organized. Like, it's kind of cliche for what we're talking about, but you need to be organized.
We're a company that deals with the systemization. Could you imagine if you weren't systemized?
Right. And you know, you kind of hit it earlier too, like good people skills, you know, these are people that, you know, they are doing their best at what they're doing, and they don't know that there are additional solutions. So you have to be able to have those crucial conversations with them and do it delicately so that you're not, you're not going to ruffle the feathers. You're not going to create any waves. So that's definitely one of them. And then, like, also innovation. You know, we are always looking for new solutions, whether it be new products, new ways of organizing. One of the very first things, or I guess one of the last things that I tell my practices when I help them do their reset is, I want to hear from you. Like, if you find a better way to do this, by all means, tell me, because we are always going to be learning from you. Have an open mind. We want people to, you know, we want to learn as much as we want to teach.
What does that mean, a reset? So,
oh, great.
I guess we're going, let's go into
color method.
let's go into the color method. Yeah. So let me tell you what I know. You tell me what I know to be accurate or not.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I know far less than most people.
Yeah.
I'd never worked in a practice that had your system, your bins, your any of it. So just by looking at it, I'm assuming that each bin is for a different procedure or different color to that procedure. Mm-hmm. And that's all I know. Okay. So what's a reset and what is, how would you like elevator pitch color method?
Oh, I love it. So we are, we help dental teams become more efficient, safer, and happier. We do that by helping educate them on what are best practices for their material management, their instrument management, and then their storage optimization as well. It's going to help them perform better dentistry if they have a system in place that is going to make them their most efficient machine. Mm-hmm. We're a manufacturing company. That's a side note too. You know, we manufacture the products that support our system and our consulting options and services. So what is a reset? We have different levels of consulting, and I like to say it is like, we have different levels of support. You tell me what you want. If you have a really strong team that can implement this system on their own, by all means, we trust you guys. And if you think you know what's best, go for it.
And how would you do that? So you would just ship the bins and say green is for composite or what is green for?
Anything. Okay. So, okay. Let's talk about the principles. So principles, we have four of them: color, instrument management, material management, and storage optimization. You know, color is, it's been used for centuries. It's used across so many different industries, and it's the easiest form of communication.
Sure.
Like it's really easy. We give the practices the choice on what colors they get to pick for each procedure. They start by listing out every procedure that they perform.
Oh.
Composite, crown and bridge, prep and seat, root canal, whitening, surgery, like you name it. They list out everything.
So there's just a big checklist they go through and they say, yep, we do this, 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 and this.
Yep.
Okay.
And then they assign a color to each one of those. They get to pick whatever they want. You know, the most consistent thing that I see though?
What?
Oral surgery is almost always red.
Always. I had a feeling you'd say that.
Yeah,
red.
Always. And that was my favorite procedure, and red is one of my favorite colors. Yeah. So I'm like, yay.
Red.
So they pick a color, and then that color carries over into their instrument and material management. We
Got go it.
With the instrument management, we help teams organize their instruments into cassettes. Cassettes are so much safer, not only for the patients, for the clinical team members, but also for the instruments themselves.
Yeah.
You know, if they're banging around on each other,
they get scratched, they get broken, they get bent.
Broken, dull, you name it. So we want to have, you know, everything be safer when it comes to cassettes. In our cassettes, each of those instruments gets a band, a color ID tape or ring. So we always know that green instrument is going to go into a green cassette. Anybody in the practice, whether it's a doctor, assistant, hygienist,
they can figure it out.
And then those get paired with the same color of burr guards or burr blocks. So everything is going to have the same color. So you know that if composite is green, everything green goes on that together. Those get paired with a tray with a locking cover. And this part of the system is really important because it helps with our compliances when transporting dirty and contaminated instruments.
It's a big pet peeve of mine. Uh-huh. And so we have trays that have locking lids.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, the carrying of the instruments with the lid just like floating on top drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then if a lid breaks and no one says anything, and then I'm guilty of it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to mention, like, I try to be my most efficient self and I like pile everything together.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't have a lid, one, you can't do that.
Right.
Two, like now everything is dirty again. So definitely have to have a lid.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
And they're super nice for stacking. So when they're on the clean side, or even like when they're dirty and we have to set it off to the side, they stack really nice. So it just makes it again, more efficient.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, green cassette goes on a green tray. So we know everything that's green goes for that procedure.
Mm.
When we move over into our material management, the green tub. So that composite procedure, we ask teams to, in the preparations phase, we ask them to lay out everything that they're going to need for that given procedure.
So they're basically just setting up for the procedure
in its entirety.
Pretend you're going to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or actually do the procedure and then see, because halfway through, let me tell you, someone will say, hey, can you pass me the other item, or can you pass me this? So how do you deal with that where there are multiple variables of a procedure, like an anterior composite versus a posterior composite, different kinds of rings?
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with in the middle of the procedure, doc, or me as a restorative hygienist? I say to my assistant, hey, can you actually pass me the Shofu discs instead of the 3M discs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we ask them to take these pictures, we say set up everything.
And we say this case scenario
verbatim. Like, yeah, if the doctor uses 6 different kinds of discs, show me 6 different kinds of discs. If they use 8 different types of composite, show me 8 different types of composite.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's some back and forth that we need to do to ensure that everything is there. So often we get a tub configuration created, mm-hmm, send it back to the practice, and they're like, oh, well, we're missing this, this, and this. And it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I didn't have that in the photo. So it's so important for these team members to understand that we need as much information as possible so that we can actually get as accurate and efficient, you know, turnaround time when it comes to those tub configurations.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it takes a little bit of back and forth with that, though.
So what's that process like? So you send like a checklist of some kind, mm-hmm, to the office, and you tell them to take all of these photos. Mm-hmm. And then, so they're not actually configuring things on their own. Like, you're doing it all for them.
Right, right. That's totally included with our consulting services. Right. It is so overwhelming. Like, I have people, even actually here in Chicago, they're like, how do I know what to put in here? I'm like, let that be my problem.
Let me tell you, I bought a new desk last week. Oh. So I bought a new desk, which means new desk, new drawers. Mm-hmm. And new drawers mean new, like, pencil holders. Yeah. And, like, and it irritates me when there's like a space, like, oh, there's the space between the drawer and where my last pencil holder thing is. Yeah. So of course, like, I went to the dollar store and I bought the little clear trays, and they're still floating around. Yeah. And I'm like, I wish that it could just be like an add to cart. This is what fits. This is the configuration you need for this drawer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they need like color method for desk
time 1000 for a dental office.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we do all of that hard work for them. And that, again, comes like, our clinical experience, I know if something is forgotten, I can guess. Like, if you're using this product, I know you're going to be using this to pair with it. So I can guess that. And we actually have a dental center back at our office in Buffalo, and we have a bunch of product. So we actually build the tub for them. We put products into inserts and we put them into a tub so that they have everything accounted for. I like to say it's like a puzzle. If something's missing, you know that there's something that isn't in there.
Yeah.
So we do all of that building for them. And when we present that to them, they're like, wow, I had no idea that that's how I could do it. I was going to do it this way. Yeah. And that would have been, you know, for lack of a better term, wrong. Like, they wouldn't have had everything that they needed for that tub. And then they would have suffered through trying to make it work. So we do that for every procedure. Every procedure gets built. We take a picture. We send it to them. And then we review it with them. And that's sometimes when those conversations come up of like, oh, shoot, I did miss something. Yeah. Sometimes it's an easy fix. Like, oh, we have a spot for it here. It can just be added to this space. But sometimes we do have to go back and rebuild, which it's like, if I would have just known on the first, you know, on the front end, it would have been a lot better. But, you know, minor details that that can be overcome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really. And then interesting.
The next level where it really takes clinical efficiency to its finest is in our storage optimization. We help dental teams understand how to actually store their inventory, not their active stock, which we have in the tubs and in the treatment rooms, but their back stock. Like, where is the most efficient place to store these things? And we help them understand, because we know that there's a general lack of understanding of where those things should be stored for the most efficiency. You know, we over and over and over again, we see composite in 8 different places, whether it's in treatment rooms, and all of a sudden it's in central sterilization, but it's also in a storage closet. And then it's also like in a hygienist treatment room. Like, you'd be surprised at what you find where, because people
I'm envisioning it right now. Yeah. I know where they all are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we help them understand like what is the most efficient way to store and flow these materials throughout the practice.
We had this conversation in my office a few weeks ago, because my team does like, you know, a purge of things that are expired, and those get turned into it. Luckily for me, those get turned into like Instagram posts and YouTube videos.
Good,
but
right.
For some people that luxury doesn't exist.
Right.
So they give me this bag just like full of stuff, and I have a drawer full of stuff that's expired. Mm-hmm. And my question is, so why was this not used? Like, where was it? It was like, we just found it in a drawer somewhere. Like,
right. And it was found in the back of the drawer or underneath something. It's
just
like
mixed in with everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's some of the colors of composite that you buy. I mean, you don't use them all the time.
Right.
So you're buying a color for a specific case or a specific patient.
Yeah.
And then you're not using it again for the next 24 months.
Oh, right, exactly. So,
or like, you forgot that you even have it.
And then order another one. Right, right. So if we can manage where those things are being stored so that we aren't like mentally losing them or physically losing them, you know, central sterilization is the best place for your procedure specific material. So all of the materials that you need to actually perform your physical dentistry, your bond, your composite, your gutta percha, your cord, your suture, like those are the things that we need to have a watchful eye over because they are expensive. And when we're throwing them away because they've been missing for how long, or reordering because we didn't know that we had it because it was stored, you know, Janie thought it was stored in op 4 and, you know, Sarah thought it was stored in op 7. Like these are mistakes that are happening day in and
day out. They're very expensive mistakes.
Yeah. And, and, you know, those silent stresses that come along with it where you end up having too many hands in the cookie jar where you're like,
The cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So it just, it makes it challenging for people to really control their inventory and maintain things so that you're doing it as the most efficiently and lean as possible too. Yeah. Like that's where we really help people understand like the lean material workflow, because if we're having less and less material, we're going to have a leaner inventory. It's going to be more lean.
Lower overhead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're not going to be wasting so much time searching for items, looking for missing products, reordering things that you already have.
Let's talk about space, because dental offices are trying to fit a lot of stuff into smaller spaces. Rent is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm in downtown Toronto, so like space is quite limited and I don't have a lot of storage.
Yeah.
So do you find that you hear this rebuttal from offices where it's like, well, I don't have enough space for all of these bins?
All the time.
And in my mind, I think that the answer is, well, actually you'll need less space because you're putting things into bins instead of just having them everywhere.
Yeah.
So
you nailed it.
Am
like,
I right?
Can I put you on the payroll? Like, yes, you're right. People, they think,
well, let me, where's my SIM card? Exactly. So it's like, oh yeah, we don't have the space for all of these bins.
Yeah.
Where
and they're like, we need more cabinets. We need to do a build out. It's like, okay, time out. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We need to purge. Like step one is purge. So many doctors.
Marie Kondo.
I know.
This composite does not bring me joy.
Right. Like we need to purge all those things. I can't tell you, especially when you're acquiring a practice, or, you know, a doctor's retiring, like let's get rid of everything that they use that we're not going to use. There's this weird thing about like holding on to these things where they're going to, like, I might use it someday and by then it's going to be expired.
It's expiring. It's actually expiring
like
in 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. It's like, quick, call one patient that has like a C4 shade and we can get them in for a composite. Not happening that way. So like purging those things out of there. Hello, you're going to gain space that way. And then just reallocating what they're using or reallocating the spaces for the appropriate things. You don't need months worth of inventory. You need weeks worth of inventory. We know that we can get things really quickly from our distributors.
Yeah.
And those things that we can't get quickly, we just be more mindful of.
Sure.
So reallocating what they're storing where is just going to give them, they're going to gain space in the already square footage that they have.
So how do the, where do the, we need a part two. We need a whole series, actually.
No,
we should just do a whole series.
Yeah.
Just saying. So before we wrap, so where do the bins go? Do they stay? And I think of this from the perspective of infection control, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to store instruments in an open air environment in certain places. Yeah. You're not like, where would they go? Where would I put? Where would I put that? What's this green bin here?
That looks like our
composite tub. There's fluoride in it.
Yeah.
There's etch.
Yeah.
So where would I keep that? I'd keep that obviously in the operatory.
No, you failed. No,
I failed.
Not in the treatment room. No, we want
she
to.
She said I failed.
I just hired her and I like fired you all in the same like minute.
Let me take the headphones off.
I know.
I'm done.
See ya.
Bye.
No, we want tubs and trays stored in central sterilization. Why? Because it's central. Everybody can see where it is. Tubs and trays get stored together, side by side, top or bottom.
So like the composite kit would go in the smaller, thinner tray.
Yes. The instruments would go on our tray.
With a tray. And then the tub would go right, like right underneath it. And you would just take them both and go.
Yeah, grab and go. That's right. And in central sterilization, it's like a life cycle, a circle. Sure. You know, our tub goes full circle, goes from central sterilization into the treatment room. We take out all of our materials. We perform our dentistry. The materials get wiped and they go right back in the tub. Nothing gets left in the treatment room. Everything goes right back in the tub.
Yeah.
And then the tub comes back into central sterilization where it lives until it needs to be used
again. And if you have multiple operatories running multiple composite procedures, you would have multiple tubs.
Yeah. And that's part of that like pre-planning stuff that we do. We help teams understand. You're like,
yeah. How many ops
like, what's
do you
the
have?
Volume yeah, of yeah, their yeah. practice? Do you have 1, 2, 4 doctors? Like, do you have, you know, 6, 8, 10 operatories? How many hygienists? Like, there's a lot of analytics that we do.
Sure.
For the practices to help them understand how big or small their system
probably
is going to
really
be.
Helps you bring down your overhead too.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a great system. And it's funny thing, I actually used it in 2 practices and had no idea that I was using it.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, I remember walking into one of them and they're like, just grab the green tub, Kate, let's go. I'm like, green what? Like, I thought we were doing a composite, you know? And that's how simple it was. I grabbed a green tray and a green tub and I walked into the operatory and doctor's like, everything you need is right in there. I'm like, I just started like 2 hours ago and I'm already doing composites like confidently knowing that I have everything that I want
right
here. Yeah, it was impressive.
Damn.
And
cool.
That training for like onboarding team members is so awesome. And yeah, like it just.
Yeah, basically just need a sheet.
Yes.
It's like, here's a sheet. Laminated sheet.
We give you that.
Color. You give us that?
We give you that. Yes. Yeah.
All right. The end.
Right.
Color code me, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
You're
this was
welcome.
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think you're a really inspiring story.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
You know, you held out for so long for this role that you knew you wanted to have, and now you're excelling and succeeding at it.
Thank
and
you.
It, like, I can, you're just, you exude this passion for everything organization and also for our industry. And I commend you on that because it's so difficult. For people to leave the op.
Right.
You know, like
when
we talk about it, like, you know, you leave when you retire or when you're fed up, but you left not because you were sick and tired of it, but because you wanted to do something different, something cool and something interesting. So I really commend you on that.
Thank you.
And I'll share all of your links below LinkedIn. If, you know, people want to reach out to you.
Yeah.
And, of course we'll have some information on Zerk products below. So thank you for having me here today. And recording with me, and hopefully we get to do some more cool stuff together.
No kidding, I'm excited. Yeah, part 2. It got to be coming up soon.
Before we wrap, there's a mystery box.
Oh, a mystery box. Okay.
It's called the Tooth or Dare podcast for a reason.
No. Oh,
I won't dare you to do anything, but
Brian didn't share this with me.
You have to do a card.
Okay.
And you have to read the card.
Oh, jeez.
Aloud.
Okay. Oh,
and
man.
Then you have to answer it.
Okay. All right.
And there.
Do you have to answer it too?
No one's ever asked me before.
Oh, ooh, see, I'm always
I'll answer it.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Okay. I get to pick my own card.
You pick your own card. Yeah.
Grab this one right here in the middle.
Oh, she's going right in the middle.
Gotta get one in there. Right here. Okay.
Okay. She's very particular about the card. Uh-oh.
This one's lame. Can I?
Let me see it. What does it say? Have you ever traveled on your own?
I mean, all the time now. You know what's funny? Okay, I am going to answer this. Have you ever traveled on your own? Yes.
Not like for work, though. Like, I think when I read that, I think of like solo travel. Like, did you ever strap on a backpack and like...
No.
Okay, do a different...
Okay, sounds good. I was going to say, like, my mom, I call her first when I have travel plans because she's like, I always need to know where you're going. I'm like, okay, don't worry, Mom.
I'll tell you my story about my dad after. What's this one say?
Oh, gosh. Okay. In what respects are you still the same person as you were as a child?
Did we just not talk
about
this?
Did we just talk about that for the last 45 minutes?
So
okay,
funny.
I get another card.
Okay, do another card. She really wants to give us some deets.
No kidding. Okay. Oh, my gosh. What's been the most useful career advice or experience you've ever had? Like, okay.
Last one.
All right. Oh, what makes a person a good traveling companion?
Aw, that's cute.
Yes.
Can you show me the card?
Uh-huh. Okay, so what makes a person a good traveling companion?
I'm going to take a photo of you. Smile.
Good.
Yeah, I like that one. Cute. What makes them a good travel companion? What do
patience.
You think?
Patience. Patience, patience, patience. Like,
show me again the card. Sorry, I got the tubs in the background, and it's such a great photo.
Good.
Patience?
Yes, I think patience. Now that I am traveling more, one of my favorite things to do is like people watch. and watching people run through the airport. Yeah. Like, it's all right,
chaos.
Guys. It's chaos. And seeing like the husbands and wives like at each other's throats with like kids in tow. Or, you know, you're standing in line at Starbucks and you're like tapping your foot. It's like, come on, guys. We all have places to go. But, you know, just let's just be in charge of ourselves and be a little bit more patient and actually like, you know, let the universe do its job.
Yeah.
Like, just be patient. Like, there are times for urgency and emergencies, but yeah, just be patient.
Just take your time.
And mostly because I don't follow directions very well, so I make a lot of mistakes. And when...
Raise your hand if you follow directions. Oh, no one raises their hand. No.
When I, you know, if I'm in charge of navigation and I forget to announce that we were supposed to turn, like, don't, it's okay.
It's fine. Take the next left.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
We'll be good. Yeah. Awesome. So I think patience makes somebody a good traveling companion.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you want me to answer it?
Yeah.
I think, someone who is a planner. So I'm also a planner.
Okay.
But I love when someone, like if I'm traveling with someone and they're like, I got Thursday night. Don't worry. Oh. Like, don't book anything for Thursday. I'm going to do all of Thursday. Oh. I'm just like the most excited person ever. If someone could just like take the reins.
Yeah.
Because I'm like I have spreadsheets for everything. I'm going to show you right now. Okay. This is what my Chicago midwinter itinerary looks like.
Yes.
Like everything color coded to the time.
Love it.
I'm going to show it to the camera. This is what my schedule looks like. Yeah. It's crazy. Good. But I would love for someone to just say,
I got it, girl. You know, you just enjoy the ride.
Thursday, be ready at 8. Mm-hmm. We're going out.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I would like how often that happens for me?
Never. Probably never.
Never. Hardly ever.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm the one with the spreadsheets.
Funny story. So before I travel for anything, I like set up my family for success. Like, I make all the meals. I'll do all the schedule and stuff like that. Well, guess who forgot to do that this week?
Uh-oh.
So last night.
Failed as a mother.
I know
failed
I did.
As a wife.
I forgot to fill out our weekly calendar family today. And I get 3 separate text messages last night. Like, what's for lunch at school tomorrow? And I told all 3 of them, I got 3 more text messages this morning. What's for lunch at school today? I'm like, dang, kids. Like, didn't I tell you? My husband was one of them. He's like,
figured out.
Yeah. I'm like, salami sandwiches. Like, throw some cheese on there. Maybe a granola bar. Like, I mean, or force them to have school lunch. Like, they'll figure it out. They're not going to go hungry. So
they're too reliant on you.
Yeah, I know.
Kate, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good show.
Yeah, you too.
If you're listening to this and you don't know anything about Zerk products, if you were as a newbie like me, then check out the links below. And hopefully we'll see you in my practice because I think we need it.
Yes.
All right.
Call us. You know where to find us.
Until next time. Peace out, peeps.
Bye.
Oh, hi. So you made it all the way to the end. Thank you for sticking around. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, found it informative, entertaining, and of course, as per usual, find me hilarious. If you liked what you heard, it would really mean a lot to me if you could show your support by liking, commenting, or sharing this episode with a friend or family member. Your feedback and engagement helped me get on the mic today, and it would also improve our future shows and reach more people who maybe could benefit from our content as well. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to my podcast on your favorite platform or on YouTube. Follow along on this crazy journey with me at toothlife.irene and at toothordare.podcast on Instagram and Twitter. That way you'll be the first to know when episodes are released and you won't miss a beat. I appreciate your support and look forward to bringing you more great episodes in the future. From my team to yours, thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the flip side.